is true love. Hallelujah. What is true love? Shall we have a word of prayer? Can we stand upon our feet as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight. And we thank you for your word that never fails. We thank you for this meeting. You have a purpose for it from the foundation of the world. And we thank you because this meeting is coming to reality today. We ask in the name of Jesus that your grace and your anointing will rest upon your word. You help me to speak, Lord Jesus, to somebody out here in the name of Jesus. Let your word encourage, let it heal, let it deliver, let it set free. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your word come with the anointing to set free, to set captives free, and to heal every sickness and every disease. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, and everybody say, Amen. Hallelujah. You can be wonderfully seated. God bless you. We're going to be looking at God's word very briefly. Before we close, and then we'll be on our way home. The theme is, what exactly is true love? It's important as believers that we come to a place where we examine such topics like this, because we live in a very intensely pressured generation. There are a lot of distraction amongst us today. These distractions weren't there some few years back. I remember when I was growing up in the 70s and early 80s, you know, things were a whole lot more different than it is now. Over there and then, there were nothing like BlackBerry phones. There was nothing like iPad and iPod and all those gadgets. There was nothing like that. It was only Abiola that had cellular. Praise the Lord. There was nothing like that. I remember when I was courting my wife, when I want to call her, you know, I had to go, and you know, that Nitel box, you have to go like this and go like that and go like that, you know, very frustrating. Okay? And, you know, television stations those days will start by 4 o'clock in the evening with national anthem. Some of you don't know that. Those of you that were born in the 80s, 82, 83, 84, you don't know that. It will start with national anthem 4 p.m., and then they close by 10 p.m. with national anthem, and that's the end. But today, there is Nollywood and African magic and Nigerian magic and Ibadan magic and Lagos magic and all kind of magic that you don't even know which station you want to watch again. So we have a lot of things today that are competing for our attention. That is why somebody like Bishop David Oyedepo, Bishop Francis Wale Oke, Reverend Moses Aronsiola, and those, you know, old patriarchs in the kingdom, they will say that in their days, they used to go into the bush or into the forest to pray. One time, Bishop David Oyedepo said he was in the forest to pray for 3 days. If somebody tries that today, you want to say, are you mentally stable? Are you okay? But, you know, they used to do that, and there was a lot more spirituality in the air. When I was on campus, we used to go to the fields to pray 4 hours at a time, 6 hours at a time. Those days when I was on campus, you know, in the early 90s, you could find up to 10, 12 people praying on the school field in the night. And it's not as if anybody called prayer meeting. It's just a personal communing with God. Those kind of things are disappearing gradually and being replaced with, you know, all-night call. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Free call to your bubble or to your babe. You understand what I'm talking about? And you see, we have a lot of things competing for our spirituality. As a result of that, a lot of, you know, spiritual values are not being preserved and are not being held the way they should be. Today, we have a lot of things that are trying to define what love is for us. The media is trying, the broadcast media is trying to define what love is. The print media is trying to define what love is. Our billboards are trying to define what love is. Our advertisements are trying to define what love is. Our environments are trying to define what love is. But you see, as children of God, we have to go back to the scriptures to know exactly what true love is. An average person doesn't even know what it means to be truly loved by a person. And it is not just a Nigerian situation. Because of our online ministry, I get calls from all over the world. I've been called for counseling virtually from every continent on earth. And the same confusion pervades. A lot of confusion, a lot of misplaced, it's just intense. And so it becomes important for us to hold meetings like this. Because it is the light of God's word that will keep on dispelling this darkness that is threatening our society and threatening the younger generation that are trying to come up. Are you here with me? I said, are you here with me? Now, what exactly is true love? There are some of us that our love, what love is to us has been defined by, you know, all those romantic novels you read. In our days, it used to be M and B. I don't know what it is today. What's the novel you read today? Tell me, somebody. Please, don't be shy. Tell me. Tell me, somebody now. Those romantic novels. Tell me one of the series. You won't talk now. All of you are trying to appear holy now. Hello, somebody. But you know them, amen? You know them. And then there are all kind of romantic themes. You know, all those romantic Indian themes. Some of you even want somebody to sing Indian song for you before you know he has been sent to you by God. Hello, somebody. Some of you are... Some people will want to even go to beachside. You know, you want to look at somebody, you know, running to you in slow motion. Say, it's because of all those things you have read over time. And those things are fickle. They are not the true definition of what love really is. Are you here with me? How many of us know the story of Amnon and Tamar? How many of us here know the story? In 2 Samuel chapter 13, let's quickly take a look at it. 2 Samuel and in chapter 13. Hallelujah. All right, let me read verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Notice the scenario here. Amnon was the son of the king. Also, Tamar is the son of David. But here, we find Amnon falling in love with his half-sister. And verse 2 says, Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. The Bible says he was vexed. And when you look at that phrase, you want to think, oh, this looks like true love. Hello, sisters, are you here with me? Has somebody walked up to you to tell you, I love you so much, if I can read my books again, I can sleep again, I can do this again. Hello, somebody? And when he says all those things he can't do, and says, look, in fact, I can't think, I can't do this, I can't do that. It's a definition of what the scripture is saying here, that he was vexed. But you see, vexation is not true love, as we are going to see this story in a moment. Somebody says, I love oranges. Oh my God, I love oranges. I love oranges so much. I love oranges. And then you buy an orange. I love oranges. I love it so much. Then you peel the orange. Oh my God, I love oranges so much. And then you cut it to two. I love oranges. And then you squeeze it and take everything. I love oranges. Dustbin after you are through. Do you really love oranges? No, you love your tummy. Hello, somebody. Somebody says, I love you so much, I can't breathe again. That's asthma. It's not love. Hello, somebody. Are you here with me? Amnon was so vexed. Verse 3 says, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was a subtle man. Now, the problem that a lot of people have today is the kind of association they keep. When we read this story, we'll see how Jonadab offered Amnon an advice. He said, Amnon, why are you looking so thin like this? What's your problem? Amnon says, because of my sister, I'm in love with her. Jonadab said, that's a simple thing. Just pretend you are sick. So when your father, King David, comes, tell him to send Tamar to you to come and prepare food for you. And that is what he did. He pretended he was sick. King David came to check him. Oh, you have malaria. Oh, you have this, you have that. He said, please, can you ask my younger sister to come and, you know, cook for me? So Tamar came, cooked for him. And then he began to say, let's sleep together. And Tamar said, no, it's not done. Don't do that. That's wrong. And Amnon bolted the door and was going to force her. And Tamar said, no, you don't do this kind of thing. Why don't you ask for my father? He won't keep me away from you. Let's make it decent. No. But Amnon forced her, and the Bible says he raped Tamar. Now, this is where I'm going. Immediately he finished raping Tamar. In verse 2, the Bible tells us that he was so much vexed because he was in love. After he raped Tamar, the Bible says the hatred with which he hated her was much more than the love with which he loved her. It was never true love. It was just lust. You see, there's a difference between love and lust. True love emanates from God. Lust is a tool in the hand of the devil. When somebody comes up to you and says, I love you, and this person is not a child of God, this person is not born again, that can't be love, because he doesn't know God. God is love. If you don't know God that is love, then you don't even have an idea what true love should be. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? He said, Pastor, boy, he's very nice. So, he's a very nice young man. I know he's not born again, but what I'm looking at is after I get engaged to him, I will now convert him. You are not the Holy Spirit. You are not the converter. Hello, somebody. You can't convict anybody. And you know something powerful? People don't change after marriage. They don't change. In fact, what they have been before becomes multiplied. If you ever see somebody and say, well, I know I'm a bad boy, but you know, after marriage, I'm going to change. That person is telling you lies. Are you still here with me? So there's a difference between love and lust. How do you know if it is not love and it is lust? How do you know if somebody truly loves you? For those of us that are of marriageable age, are you here with me? The first thing I would like to say is that true love will never pretend. Are you here with me? True love will not what? True love will never pretend. It will never deceive you. It will never trap you. Amnon was never interested in food. He deceived his father. He deceived Tamar. That's not true love. You have a friend who you know, he lies so much. You know he's a confirmed liar. Not that you, whether you are trying to know. No, you know he's confirmed. He has lied so much that he's lying in state. He now says he loves you, and you too, you're not falling in love with that kind of person. No, true love does not lie. True love does not deceive. True love does not pretend. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? And you know, ladies, you see, you've got to have a good self-esteem. I usually say this, that if I have a baby girl, you see, I have three boys. Dunamis, Dugza, and Dunamai. I wish there is another Sophia making four. Hello, somebody. But my wife has refused to cooperate. But I'm still praying. There's nothing God cannot do. How many of you are supporting me here? You see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I have three boys. Assuming I have a girl, I will always tell that girl something every day. And that is to look her in the face every morning and say, I love you. I love you. You see, most of our ladies, our girls, they grew up without their parents ever verbalizing that statement to them for once. Sometimes because of our culture, sometimes because of ego, sometimes because there's not that much closeness. It's not everywhere. There are some parents that do that, you know.
But there are some people that grew up from a home where their parents don't verbalize it. Their parents just say, you should know now, with all your school fees and pain. You should know that I love you. No, it doesn't work like that. So the girl has grown up with a low self-esteem. She's beautiful, but she doesn't believe she's really beautiful because nobody has told her. She's busy looking at herself in the mirror every morning, saying, I wish this my ears that looks like moimoi leaves, that looks like butterfly. I wish it can be parallel to my head. Hello, somebody. You know, most of the time, it's beautiful girls that have that kind of esteem. Hello, that kind of problem with esteem. Have you seen some guys before? Hello? You look at them, in your own mind, like, this guy is not really fine. But does the guy care? No. With the same way he is, with his leg like hockey stick, he will still wear three quarters. He does not care. And he will still come to ask you out. And you're almost like, And the guy is like, what's your problem? Hello, somebody. Are you here with me? You see, it's mostly the ladies that look at the mirror and keep on saying, I wish I'm this, I wish I'm that, I wish I'm... You see, but that God has not created anybody to be ugly. The Bible says, a body has he prepared me. You should accept who you are. Are you here with me? Nobody is ugly. If somebody has ever told you are ugly, tell that person it is your opinion. Hello. Ladies particularly. Somebody says, you are not even fine, you are ugly. Say, that's your opinion. The Bible says, God has created us fearfully and what? Wonderfully. We're fearfully and wonderfully created. So you are going to be wonderful to some people. You are going to be fearful to some people. Oh, you don't get. So somebody looks at you and says, you are ugly. Say, it's okay. I'm fearful to you, Abby. You are not my husband. That's why. When I meet my husband, he will say, you are wonderfully created. Have you seen some couples before? You look at the husband. You look at the wife. You almost want to go to the husband and say, uncle, I'm just asking that, were you opening your eyes? And the uncle is like, what's the problem? Say, I'm just looking at your wife because the way the nose is, I don't know what attracted. And the man say, don't go there. It is that nose that attracted me. Say, because beauty is in the beholder's eye. The same way you see some couple, you want to go and meet the wife, say, auntie, with the way you are so fine, what happened to you? He said, that what happened? I'm just looking at that uncle, your husband. I said, what happened to him? He's the most... So you discover that not everybody will see you as beautiful. That's their opinion. Hello, somebody. That's why you see most husbands says, my wife is the most beautiful woman on earth. And you are wondering, what is this man feeling like? But he's saying the truth. That's why they are married. Are you here with me? So let me look at a lady beside you and say, you are beautiful. You are wonderfully created. You will see that the ladies are smiling now. Because that's what they like to hear. Hello, somebody. Hello. Are you here with me? So ladies, I said all of that. I was saying, if I have a baby girl, I will tell her you are beautiful every day. So that when she gets in the campus, she's just 18 years old of 17. In our campuses today, we have 16. 15, 16, 17, 100 level. 15. I once passed a 14-year-old girl. 100 level. So they come, their emotions are still fragile. They don't even know they are left from right. And here they've come from a home where love has not been verbalized. So their esteem is low. So she's on campus, and one guy, walks up to her. You know how those guys normally walks? You understand? Like somebody with disability. And I'm just joking. So he walks up to him and says, comes up with that bedroom voice. Say, you are so beautiful. And the girl just stand mesmerized because she's not heard that before. And the girl goes like, I love you. And you almost want to say it again. You see, you've got to have a good self-esteem. If it's somebody that you've been told, I love you, your parents have verbalized you, get a campus, somebody wants to say, I love you, say so. My daddy tells me that every day. So what's the, you love me, so what's the thing about that? And that is what we need to understand, young girls, young ladies, that somebody walks up to you and says he loves you does not mean you start to cooperate with that person at that instance. There are a lot of factors at play. A girl child, most of the time when she's, you know, becoming a teenager, is looking for romance, love in a relationship. But the guy, most of the time, if he's not born again, he doesn't have the fear of God, he is looking for sex because of the way his body is wired. Two different things, two different purposes. That is why when you are still, you know, growing, it's good you open up to people ahead of you, your pastors that can be trusted, and talk to them. This is what I'm going through. This is somebody that is walking up to me. Don't run that race alone. It is an age where you feel you know it all. Incidentally, it's an age where you don't know anything. And most of the time, it takes you another 10 years, 25, 26, 27, before you realize that, come to think of it, I never knew anything when I was a teenager. But most of the time, there will have been some mistakes, sometimes very terrible mistakes. So it's good to calm down and take it easy. Is somebody here with me? When you are in a relationship, your parents don't know about it, your pastor don't know about it, your mentors don't know about it, there's no authority figure that knows about it, there is a problem about that relationship. There's a problem with it. There is a problem with it. The moment the guy or the lady begins to say, no, don't let's tell anybody, it's just the two of us, there's a problem already. There's a problem. And that is what we need to be careful about. Another thing I want to mention about Amnon is that true love is not stupid. True love is not stupid. True love is not what? Are you here with me? True love is not what? Amnon refused to consider the consequences of what he was about to do. He just wanted to satisfy the lust. True love reasons with God's word. There's this true life story. Young girl, 18 years old, gain admission to the university. I don't want to mention the name of the university. Young girl, but here she comes on the campus with a very low self-esteem. She believes she's ugly. She believes she's not beautiful. She believes she's not beautiful because she has small breasts, according to her. Now, the second mistake, she fell into the hands of wrong friends. If I may ask you this evening, before I continue with that story, who are your friends? If you write the word friend, the last three words is end. And somebody says your friends can sometimes determine your end. Your friends are the definition of your future. If you surround yourself with aristos, guess what will happen at the end of the day? They're going to influence you. Who are the kind of people you are working with? The Bible says when you walk with the wise, you become wise. Say, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Message translation says when you walk with stupid people, your life will come to ruins. The kind of person you walk with, it's going to go a long way where your life ends. She fell into wrong hands. And these are friends who are unbelievers told her, you are just mommy's girl. The reason your breasts are so small is because you've never had sex. He said, hey. You see, true love is never stupid. He said, hey. He said, don't worry. We'll organize a boyfriend for you. I'm telling you a true life story. He said, God had a boyfriend. And they started sleeping together and she got pregnant. 18 years old. She got pregnant. Her parents got to know. Her parents were embarrassed because they were their leaders in a particular church. They were very, very embarrassed. They told her, you cannot abort. Abortion is murder. We can't encourage that. You're going to carry this pregnancy through. So she returns back to school with pregnancy. 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, the tummy begins to bulge. And then she began to get embarrassed because she's walking down in the campus and people are glancing at her and talking and pointing at her. She couldn't cope any longer. Another mistake, she went back to her old friends. They told her, you are just being a stupid mommy's girl. Let's take you to how to handle this thing. They took her for abortion. She went through the abortion, but there was a complication. She was carrying a twin. They brought out one, they left one there. I'm not sure it was up to a few weeks or a few months. She died. Lost her life at the age of 19. Because she fell into wrong hands. Low self-esteem drove her into that. You need to be confident about yourself in God. Do you know if you don't love yourself, nobody will love you? As a lady, I'm telling you the truth right now. You're of marriageable age. If you don't love yourself, nobody will love you. Nobody will love you. So you see, the idea about being single, that word single, is becoming old. You are ready for marriage when you get to that point that you don't need anybody to survive. When you are still like, oh, I need to get to a relationship. I need somebody. I just need somebody to be alive. I just need somebody to keep on. Wrong reasons. And that's why you find some people, they break a relationship today, the following week they're in another. They break this one, they're in another. Because they believe they can't survive without a relationship. No. No. You are trying to feel with boyfriend what Jesus you feel. The emptiness and the hunger you feel cannot be filled by a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It can only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. So you see, you need to stop the cycle of frustration by doing it God's way. There's a way to do it. It is God that created sex, mind you. But God wants sex to be contained in the sanctity of a marriage union. Premarital sex is a sin. True love, which leads into the third point, does not involve premarital sex. I'm beginning to round up so that we can go home. True love does not involve premarital sex. But what do we have today in our society? What do we have? If you love me, you need to prove your love. You say, how do I prove my love? Are you a small girl? Are you a baby? You should know what I'm talking about. Me, I've been loving you all this while. I buy you a recharge card. But you don't love me. You can say, but I love you now. Prove it. You see, you don't prove love with sex. If love is sex, then the goats and the dogs, they should be in love. But I don't think so. If love is sex, then the prostitute ought to be in love with all her clients. But she's not. She sees that sex as a trade. She's disenfranchised from emotional realm with those clients. It's business. It's money. Because love and sex are two different things. So the moment the guy comes up and starts talking about sex, you need to back out of that kind of relationship. Don't even consider such people. Because they are going to get into trouble if you continue with that kind of relationship. Is somebody here with me? Now, I want to round up, but listen. Sex is spiritual. It's not physical. It's not physical. The films we watch, the books we read, the magazines we see, the billboards in town, all of those things are communicating to us that sex is just something you do by the way to enjoy yourself. If you're a boy and you're a girl and you like yourself, then you can have sex. No! God created sex for the purpose of marriage. When you're in a relationship with somebody and you get sexual in that relationship, 99% of the time the relationship will get broken. Why? The principles of God that should guard the relationship has been violated. Come to think of it, you now stand the chance. It becomes risky because you lose the favor of God. You lose the support of God. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm telling you the truth. Because I get to counsel a lot of people all over the place, I listen to hearts, to stories that could break hearts of compromises and the consequences of compromise. It is not worth it, like Pastor Sophia was saying. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. The Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. So don't come around and say, well, it's not possible. How can two people love themselves and they won't touch each other? No. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Your destiny is at stake. You need to understand that when sin begins to come, it is your destiny that is at stake. The devil is not particular about what you're about to do now or tomorrow. It's about your future. It's about your destiny. It's about your purpose. It's about your assignment. And you have a responsibility to protect your future and your destiny by saying no to what is not of God. My challenge to you this evening is to do it God's way. I told you that sex is spiritual. That is why ritualists will often say, look, all I need to make money for you, go and sleep with somebody and bring a condom. What's the connection with condom and money? Sex is spiritual. Are you here with me? The moment there's a compromise, it's like opening the doors legally for demonic attacks over that relationship and over that life. Oh, yeah. Demonic, it's like legally opening the door and say, devil, you can come in now, because the principles of God has been violated. Young ladies, you need to gather courage. You're in a relationship and somebody is insisting on sex. Tell him no. And not just no, tell him, I'm backing out of this. You are not God's man for me. Are you here with me? No compromise. And if you find yourself already in some compromise, which is very possible, you can turn around today. You see, God does not condemn you. That's the beauty about God. He does not condemn you. He does not condone sin, but he also does not condemn you. If you come to God, he will give you a fresh start. Don't sow wrong seeds into your life, into your future, and into your destiny. The Bible says God is not mocked. He said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he's going to reap. True love does not include premarital sex. Somebody says, what about kissing? As a roundup. What about kissing? What about petting? The Bible says, kiss one another with a holy kiss. Isn't that the scripture we quote? The guy carries Bible and quote, kiss one another with a holy kiss. Let's fulfill scripture. Can't you see? Let me open it for you. It's in Ephesians. It's in Colossians. It's in that. But what you need to understand is that the Jewish kiss is a form of greeting. We don't greet one another with kiss here. I mean, we have a meeting here. My wife is coming in and you are an usher. You grab my wife, you are kissing her. Say, welcome, ma. Ah, I will remove my suit and fight you. You say, but you are a pastor. I said, that's exactly why I'm fighting you. If you are kissing somebody at the back of that place, okay? and a pastor bumps into you, what do you do? You quickly apologize. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Why are you apologizing? Because it's wrong. But if two people who are married are kissing themselves, I'm kissing my wife there, you bump into us, who will say apologize? You see you. I say, sorry, sir. Well done, sir. Because it's not a sin. She's my wife. Somebody comes to you, say, I love you, let's kiss. You two, you now submit your lips as if you are submitting paper in exam hall. No. Come on, say no. Say no. If somebody is hungry, you should go to market and buy pomona. Why is it that your lips that he wants to eat? Is somebody here with me? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So you don't allow somebody to dip his hand inside your blouse or your skirt. No! Give yourself some respect. Treat yourself with dignity the way God sees you. Follow the principles. Don't slow yourself down. I beg you in the name of the Lord. That's the constant thing I've seen when people call me for counseling who have compromised or are just compromising. They delay themselves. They slow themselves down. They are disappointed. Most of the time they are calling me for the first 5 minutes, they are weeping profusely on phone. Ask my wife. Weeping. Weeping profusely. You have an opportunity to hear how to do it right. This is a monthly meeting, and from time to time we'll consider a lot of topics. It's a meeting you should not miss, because this ministry is committed to help you do it right. You may not value it like you should now, but down the years, as you grow older, you will look back to thank God for such things that your ears are hearing. I challenge you this evening. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. God will honor you. Hello, somebody. God is calling you. There are some of you guys and ladies that have a vital ministry to the body of Christ. Some of you know, some of you don't even know anything about it. And the devil is fighting you tooth and nail just to jeopardize that ministry. There are some of you whose future are so bright. Don't allow sin to mess it up. The Bible says righteousness will exalt a nation. He said, but sin is a reproach. Stand up on your feet tonight. I would have loved to say much, but to say more, but because of time, I want to pray for a few of us before we go. Where's Brakule? I want to pray for you before you go tonight. I want you to close your eyes and just talk to God tonight. Just talk to God. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your holy name tonight. We thank you because you are Lord. We thank you because your word never fails. We thank you for these young ones here tonight. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for where you are taking them to. All eyes closed, nobody looking around. I want to pray for you. If you are here this evening under the sound of my voice, and you know you need to accept Jesus into your life, or you have accepted once, but you know you need to rededicate your life, I want to pray for you to have a fresh start. I just want to pray for you to have a fresh start. If there's anybody like that, you don't need to come forward. Just put up your right hand. I don't want anybody looking around. Just put up your right hand. You want to give your life to Jesus. Thank you for that hand. God bless you. Any other person joining? Let me pray for you tonight. Let God start something new in your life tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. If your hand is raised up, put that hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my life tonight. I ask in the name of Jesus. There to be a new beginning for me from tonight. I accept you, Lord Jesus, into my life as my Lord and personal Savior. I confess all my sins and I declare I'm forgiven. All things are passed away and all things have become new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All eyes closed. The second set of people I want to pray for. If you know there's any compromise, know there's an area of your life where there's something you are doing you are not supposed to do, I want to pray for you very quickly. Yeah. Yeah. The Spirit of God is showing me some things. Oh yes. I want to pray for you. You want to break that cycle. I want you to step out. There's something the Spirit of God is showing me very quickly. Just come out. I want to lay hands on you. You know, there's a problem with your sexuality. It could be pornography. It could be masturbation. It could be premarital sex. Whatever it is, don't joke with the grace of God that is here tonight. Come, let me pray for you. Come forward. Come forward.